Desai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. And today, along with me, we have Brother Sai Prakash, who is a co-host and also a guest. We have an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, Brother Anindya Das Gupta. Welcome, Brother Anindya, to Vahini Satsang.
Sai Ram.
So just to let the listeners know about a little bit about you, you are someone who joined this higher secondary school way back in 1985, right? And then you did your Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan campus, you did your bachelor's in sciences and moved on to your corporate career, where you were for 13 years in the pharma sector, and now you are in FedEx as the learning and development lead specialist. So you are in sort of a profession where you have the chance to actually communicate a lot, and you can actually package Bhagwan's teachings in your learning and development program. So it would be really interesting to see how Bhagwan's teachings have impacted you in your life as well as in your professional space. So we look forward to a beautiful satsang.
Great. Thank you so much, Sai Ram.
So we were on Prema Vahini first chapter, and we had done about three paragraphs. So let's listen to the fourth paragraph. We just started our discussion on the fourth paragraph in the previous episode.
Right.
So we'll listen to the fourth paragraph, and then we'll pray to Bhagwan for his inspiration.
గుణము సువాసన వెదజల్లే పుష్పము వంటిది. ఆ పుష్పము ఎచ్చట నున్నను దాని వాసనను మనం పొందుచున్నాము. లోకమున కొందరు కవులు, మరికొందరు మహాకవులు, ఇంకా ఎందరో విద్వాంసులు, విజ్ఞాన శాస్త్రజ్ఞులు కావచ్చు. కాని గుణము లేనిదే సంఘమున చోటు లేదు. ఇప్పటి సంఘములోన చోటున్నవారి కెలరకును గుణమున్నదా అని శంకింపవచ్చును. అట్టి గుణములు, అట్టి సంఘములు నేను తెలుపునట్టి గుణములకు అన్వయించవు. అటువంటి గుణములందు క్షణక్షణమునకు మార్పు వచ్చుచుండును. నిజమైన నిర్దుష్ట గుణము జీవితాంతము వరకు, యుగ యుగముల వరకు అమరమై ఆత్మతో ఉండును. అట్టి అమరగుణములే దయ, దాక్షిణ్యము, ప్రేమ, క్షమాపణ, నిజాయితీ, ఓర్పు. ఇవియే లోకులకు గొప్ప యోగ్యత. అంతేకాని వేరు స్వభావములు ఈ స్థానమునుండవు.
క్యారెక్టర్ ఇస్ లైక్ ఎ ఫ్లవర్ దట్ స్ప్రెడ్స్ ఫ్రేగ్రెన్స్. వీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దిస్ ఫ్రేగ్రెన్స్ వేర్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ మే బి. ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ వన్ మే బికమ్ అ పోయిట్, అ లిటరేటర్, అ స్కాలర్ ఆర్ అ సైంటిస్ట్. బట్ వితౌట్ క్యారెక్టర్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో ప్లేస్ ఫర్ సచ్ అన్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఇన్ సొసైటీ. వన్ మే డౌట్, do all those present in the society today possess character? I am not referring to such a society or character as you see today, which is temporary and keeps changing. Truly, perfect character lasts till the end of one's life, nay, end of all ages. It is immortal and is associated with the Atma. Such immortal qualities are compassion, kindness, love, forbearance, integrity, and patience. Only these confer great worthiness on individuals. Other qualities cannot take their place.
So many things conveyed in that, in those few lines, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, what we saw till now in the chapter was Swami was telling about how there is lack of peace in today's day and age, and how man's behavior is the sole reason for the lack of peace and happiness. That's how Swami started this chapter. And then he says, human birth is the pinnacle of creation. And in order to, you know, just to sanctify the human life, we need to have good character. So he starts with saying that your behavior is not up to the mark. And what is the right kind of behavior? Behavior that is born out of good character. That's what Swami goes into. And then he says, character is not something which is, you know, which comes and goes. It's something that lasts even over lifetimes. And he quotes those examples of different saints and holy people whom we remember even today. And then he comes to the next paragraph, that is what we heard just now, where he says that it is like a flower that spreads fragrance. And I remember last session we just began to, you know, discuss this, how if there is one person with good character, it just spreads to the people around him, and the stronger his good character becomes, I think it has a wider reach.
Yes,
true. I think, you know, I mean, absolutely well said. Well, if you look at it from a, you know, from a corporate perspective, from a corporate life, I think a good character or good conduct is the most important aspect in existing to a civil society.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you have that as a major aspect of your kind of a behavior, that is what is the right corporate governance is all about.
Correct.
And if you have a right character, you know, there is a right corporate governance, and if you have that, you know, that's where you portray your leadership traits and leadership quality. And as Swami himself mentions, that leadership is nothing but it's a conglomeration of individual character plus national character. And I think that's what Swami teaches us in the Institute. And I'm sure all the alumni, you know, all of us, you know, when we move out, I'm sure, you know, we have that flavor of, you know, our own character. And I'm sure every one of us have still maintained the status quo. That's what I have learned from my own experiences.
Right.
And slowly you see that, you know, with time, the fragrance of this character spreads to everyone around.
Exactly. And the best part is, you know, when you imbibe that character and when you move on, at a certain point of time, people do realize that, you know, you are not in that mass, you know, you are a little different from that entire group.
Right.
And that's what Swami wants, you know, people should come and ask you, you know, I mean, what exactly do you represent? You come from, you know, which particular source? And that becomes an extremely, you know, kind of a pride for all of us. When someone comes and asks us, oh, you are a follower of Sai Baba, then what you're doing is perfectly fine. No, that becomes a kind of a...
No, that's very important, yeah.
It
becomes a benchmark. You know, when we're talking about character and good character, as students, the only thing that comes to mind is when Swami would say, good boy or bad boy.
Correct.
Yes. Good boy or bad boy. And in this context, you know, something very sweet comes to my mind. One day we were sitting on the veranda, and Swami was walking in the VIP's veranda, just outside the bhajan hall, you know. There's a small VIP veranda.
Correct, yeah.
And Swami was so happy with a particular gentleman. He's a foreigner. And Swami is saying, good man, good man, good boy, good boy. Swami is telling him so many times. And obviously we are wondering, what is it that he has done so exceptional that he needs to be patted so much? Swami said, 30 years, only one wife. Only one wife. For them, that itself. I mean, Swami is with so much of happiness and so much of joy. Good man, good boy, good boy.
In fact, that reminds me, Sai Prakash, of something that I've heard that happened in Vrindavan many years ago.
Right.
We all know the Trai Vrindavan. Next to the Trai Vrindavan, we have the guest house.
Yes.
And apparently, there was this student who used to look after Chai. You know, we had Dr. Chai,
yeah,
who was sort of mentally challenged, and we always had boys who looked after him. And Swami did shower a lot of attention also on those boys. So, this particular boy, he had to actually cross the road and go to serve Dr. Chai.
Hmm.
And at that point in time, when he was about to do that, in the usual route in which he can go there, there are basically two routes. You know, you can go from behind the Trai Vrindavan or you go on the street. He saw that some ladies were coming. So he stopped and he took the other route.
Mm-hmm.
And Bhagwan watched this.
Mm.
He was so happy.
Mm.
He kept on talking about it. Mm. You see that boy's character. How he was so sensitive to this.
Mm.
How he took the... And apparently, that sort of became, for Bhagwan... that was something with which he identified that boy.
Hmm.
And in fact, you know, what you just mentioned, you know, also reminds me that whatever Swami says, you know, he follows himself first.
Absolutely.
I remember, I think it was in Trey, or exactly, I am not able to recollect the place, but, you know, I am aware of this incident. Swami was, I think, coming out of darshan, and suddenly he stopped. People were wondering, you know, why Swami stopped. And it seems Swami pointed out there was, you know, a row of ants who were just, you know, moving across.
Yes.
Imagine, you know, Swami, who is a creator, stops. So these are a certain learning, you know, from, you know, I mean, these are very small, small stuffs. But the moment you, you know, try to understand the beauty of it, character is all about respect, you know. Respecting all living creatures, be it a human being or be it your subordinates or be it seniors or be it even, you know, the one who comes and serves you, maybe at a restaurant or maybe a class four.
Yes.
It's all about, you know, how do you respect them.
Yes. You know, in fact, you mentioned about class four. There's an alumnus, I can mention his name, is Srikant. When he joined his company, in fact, he was identified 2 years ago as one of the emerging leaders in the IT sector. And so after he joined office, he had this practice that, you know, he would talk to the guy who delivers coffee and, you know, the office boy. And so he would just do it casually whenever he was in the office. So one day when he, you know, during a break, when he just went and asked this guy, how are you? And, you know, how is everything going on in your life? That guy just broke down. He said, what happened? What did I say anything wrong?
True.
You know, what happened? He said, sir, I have been working here for 20 years. No one ever asked me, how are you? If I am delayed in giving the coffee or a tea by 10 minutes or 5 minutes, you know, everyone questions me, a million questions, where was I dead, what happened to me? But no one ever asked me, how am I? Do I have a family? Do I have any problem in my life?
True.
But Srikant was telling, I mean, this is so natural for us. I don't know what was so special in. I mean, we always did that. Even in the hostel, we always looked after, you know, whoever was there in the kitchen serving us, you know, helping us with the kitchen or in the garden. We never felt that, you know, it's someone else. So, and in fact, after that, Srikant started this practice of collecting all the sort of this class 4 employees in the office, and he used to have a get together with them.
Oh. Wow. In fact, that's what Swami exactly says, you know, one of the most important traits of a leader is to move away from selfishness to selflessness.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, that transformation from I to we.
Yes.
And that we is nothing but that's a national character.
Yes.
And I is nothing but that's an individual character. So it's basically a combination of both.
Absolutely.
So that's what. So everything, whatever Swami says, and whatever you read in today's, you know, big those management books. Believe me, if you go back to Satsai Speaks and read all that, all the crux is over there.
Absolutely.
Whatever, you know, Stephen Covey says, whatever they talk about time management. I remember Swami himself saying in his discourse, you cannot manage time. You have to manage your priorities. Mm. And that's what Stephen Covey says.
Mm.
So when you read all those books, and if you have read Satasai Speaks or any Swami's literature, you will find a tremendous amount of connect that whatever you see today has been already mentioned by Bhagwan ages before.
50s or 60s.
Yes. 50s or 60s.
Like this article was written by Swami in 1958.
Yes. And you beat it.
So, this particular accident.
Yes.
There. And you know, looking back at what Swami has actually said, he said, this gunam is so important. And you say, in this world, people may become very great. They may become poets, they may become, you know, literary giants, scholars, scientists. But without gunam, without character, there's no place for them. And he says, I'm not talking about the kind of society which we are having today, where, you know, there are many people who are prominent who do not have the virtuous character, the good character. He says, the character I am referring to is that which is always permanent, that is, which is based on the Atman, that which is, you know, fundamental, that is essentially a part of yourself. So these subtle points that Swami is making is so important. Like he used to always say, it's not important that you become great, it's important that you become good.
Yes.
So,
in fact, the important thing here is, Bhagwan is saying, this perfect character last till the end of one's life, nay, end of all ages.
Right.
So he's referring to something very, very permanent.
Yeah.
And, you know, very interestingly, I read an article which said the title of the article was "Success Will Come and Go, But Integrity Is Forever."
And absolutely.
And you know, then when I just read that, it was something so relevant. And in fact, this appeared in the Forbes magazine, and it was written by a lady named Amy Race Anderson. She's an entrepreneur turned mentor, come an angel investor. And she says, according to her, integrity is doing the right thing at all circumstances, whether or not anyone is watching.
Perfect.
Okay. And she says, it takes really courage to do the right thing, no matter what the consequences will be, you know. And she says, we are in a world where integrity is really not talked about so much.
Mm.
Because we live in a world where the end justifies the means. Because most of the time, you know, if our end is fine, then we somehow justify the means. For example, you know, if you're a marketing person and, you know, if you have to meet this target, so, you know, you will do a bit of over-promising and you will somehow try to sell the product, you know, and if you achieved your target, it's okay, everything is fine, you know, no one thinks about it.
Correct.
Similarly, if you're applying for a job and if you have sort of exaggerated your CV, once you get the job, no one thinks about it. No, it's the question of being smart, you know, you have done the right thing, mm-hmm. You've not been a... you've not been someone who doesn't know how to play along the tunes of the world. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And so similarly, if you're an entrepreneur and, you know, if you want your company to be taken over by an angel investor, or you want him to invest, then, you know, you will know how to sort of exaggerate the value. Similarly, if you're a customer service representative, you know, then you will try to tell the client some things about the product which... perhaps it's not entirely true, but, you know, you have to sell the product. So she says, just like an employee will just say that he's sick when he's, apparently if all the leaves are over, then you'll apply for sick leave when you're actually only holidaying with your family. So, I mean, the list goes on. It's about every time if the end is fine, then we don't really think so much about the means. And she says, and today, because you see this trend that a lot of people are successful, where they have not really been sticklers of, you know, trying to conform to integrity in every sense. So that's how you have this perception that that is the way to be. That is the way to be successful. But she says, what is happening is you are actually paying an incredibly high price.
Yes.
For this.
Oh, absolutely right.
You are paying an incredibly high price. See, what is really interesting for me is this is not coming from a spiritual master. This is not coming from Bhagwan. You know, if Bhagwan says, okay, this is what is spirituality, this is the right thing, but this is coming from an entrepreneur. This is coming from an angel investor. And she's saying why it is so important and why you have lost it is because that person who has compromised his integrity has lost the ability to be trusted as a person of integrity.
Right. True.
You have lost that trust. And that is the most valuable quality that anyone can have. And you have lost it. Because you may have profit in dollars, you may have profit, you know, in gaining power. Everything is temporary. But what will remain is this profit of having a network of people who believe in you. If you have a network of people who believe in you, then you will have your subordinates who will be willing to put in extra hours for you. If you are a person, people can believe in you, they will buy your products. If you are a principal who can, whom the teachers can believe, they will be willing to go an extra mile and work for you. If you are a leader who the subordinates can believe in you, they will be willing to do anything to achieve your ambition. And I think that is the most important. She was saying, the value of the trust others have in you goes beyond anything that can be measured, because along with it brings limitless opportunities and endless possibilities. Because once you have the trust of people, that with that wealth, that you can do anything. And it's a very beautiful quote of Warren Buffett, the richest man of the world. He says, when you're looking for people to hire, you have to look for three qualities: integrity, intelligence, and energy.
Wow.
And he says, but if they don't have the first one, the other two will kill you. If they don't have integrity, their intelligence and their energy will kill you. But you need all the three.
Mm. Very important.
Perfectly right. And Swami also mentions, you know, in his own ways, in his own way, that a very famous quote of his, if wealth is lost, nothing is lost.
Yes. Yeah.
If health is lost, something is lost. But if character is lost, everything is lost.
Everything is lost.
And Bhagavan goes on to narrate a chinna katha.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I remember one episode that has happened with me, you know, and I can quote it because it's a first-hand experience. It was my first job that I had, you know, I was applying, and it was into pharma industry. I was applying for a marketing position in Ranbaxy, you know, way back in 1995. And I was staying at Jodhpur, and I was being interviewed at a place known as Jaipur.
Okay.
So I had commuted by bus, right? And so when I, you know, in the interview, because, you know, I said I was from Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, so they asked me to, you know, recite Vedam, which I chanted.
Okay. So
the first interview started with Vedam.
Okay.
Because the marketing manager was Mr. Unnikrishnan, he was from South, so he had an idea what such an organization.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's something different. So what happened was that once I was through with the interview, so I was being reimbursed a third AC fare.
Mm-hmm.
Right, from Jodhpur to Jaipur.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, post the interview, they asked me, you know, go to our accounts desk and collect the third SE to and fro fare.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there and I presented the bus ticket and I refused to accept the third SE fare.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy said, that's the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have that imbibed in us, you know, what Swami has been telling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So by default, the genes in us, you know, is being made such a way. So I said, no, I came in a bus. And I paid some 100-odd rupees, you know, one way, so it's 200 bucks. And the third AC fare was approximately, I think, 500 rupees one side. So they were ready to pay me 1,000 bucks.
Mm.
So I said, no, why should I take something that I have not, you know, availed?
Mm. Wow.
So this guy said, no, but this is what the convention law is. I said, no, that's it. I don't know what happened. So this conversation was heard by the guy who took my interview.
Uh-huh.
And in my final interview, he said, I only saw that. Right?
Wow.
And I thought you were the right person for this position.
Wow.
And I don't know, that was totally Swami's grace. I mean,
fantastic.
You know, it happened with me, so I can quote it, you know, from a first-hand experience.
Wow, amazing. That's what...
That is character for you.
That is character. The possibilities are limitless.
That came out default.
I think that's what, you know, that's why you can never ever measure the profit of having a great character.
Exactly.
Because you don't know how it will open up for you, in which way, when.
It's going to play at which.
Yeah.
So then Swami says that character is based on the Atman. But then what are the qualities that define a good character? And then he says compassion. And Dakshinyam actually, in a sense, it is kind of equally compassionate to your enemy.
Wow.
So, Daya is compassion, but yes. Dakshinyam is equally compassionate to your enemy. Love your enemy as thyself,
yes.
We have heard
yes.
so many. And then he says Prema, and then forgiveness, Kshama, and then he says Nijayati. Yes. Nijayati is actually justness
yes.
and integrity. And then forbearance. So he says, this is what give worthiness to people in the world today. Other qualities cannot give this worthiness.
Absolutely.
Wow.
He is so categorical. He says, this is what defines a good character. This is what makes you worthy of calling yourself a human being.
Yes.
That's what it is. And you know, sometimes I was just going through these qualities. I was thinking, okay, Swami is going to talk about qualities. It's going to be Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. And it's very interesting because Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema are like the chapter headings.
Yes.
And these are the actual qualities that, lead you to that Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. Like, you know, compassion, forbearance.
Yes.
That is what is Ahimsa. Like, you know, if you are able to develop forbearance, you are not hurting anybody, nor are you hurting yourself. So, that kind of, these are the basic qualities that Swami is trying to imbibe.
In fact, when you think about it, because Bhagavan is speaking so much about character, and I think just to help us understand what character is all about, he's trying to make it a little simpler for us, because character is such a complex subject to deal with. What is character? I think perhaps you can just go on and on describing what is character. So he's perhaps making it a little simpler for us by giving us six qualities that we can easily relate to.
True.
Correct.
Kindness, love, forbearance, integrity. patience.
So maybe we can now go on to the next paragraph and see what Swami is talking about in continuation with this.
Actually, you know, while we are on this, you know, we are talking about compassion and kindness and love. And actually, I remember reading a very beautiful story related to President Kalam. And because to me, I feel that when we look at people who are living those values in today's time, just like, you know, Brother Anindya shared his story, then you know, the whole thing comes so alive. One thing is to listen to these stories from the Ramayana and Mahabharata. You can get inspiration. But what I have seen is when you have stories from people who are living in the same world as you are living in, I think that has a different impact.
Right.
So there was this story of President Kalam. Actually, it's recorded in the book called What Can I Give? This is penned by Srijan Pal Singh, someone who worked with President Kalam in the last 5-6 years of Kalam's life. And he says one morning at 9:30, when he had just gone to his office, Srijan Pal Singh, and he saw that there was this old man talking in an animated way with the security guard. And so he went closer, and then he saw that this old man was really someone who had come from a rural background. He could make out that with his, you know, rough beard and frizzy grey hair, and there's a big turban. Turban, which is based definitely from a rural area, and he could make out that it was not going on well with him and the security guard. So he stopped, and as he went near, he saw that there was actually a little boy hiding behind this old man. And when he went and looked at his face, then he realized that actually the person was blind. And so then he wanted to know what is happening, and the old man said, "I want to meet the president. God will bless you. Can you please allow me to meet the president for a minute?" And so he asked him, "What is the matter?" And he says, "I am from Mathura, and this is my grandson Javed. What happened is, I lost my son because of cholera, and after my son died, my daughter-in-law left all of us and she went back to her maternal home. So I have to look after this grandson and myself. And my grandson says someone told him that President Kalam is a very nice person, and he's very helpful, and he's very powerful also. So we thought he will be our last hope. So, you know, I am blind, so it really took me a long time to come here, because it took me 2 days to just find out this house. And I'm really thankful to Allah today, because, you know, I found the house and I have to go back to the village today. Can I meet Kalam?" And so this person says, actually Kalam sir was at that point in time not in Delhi. He had gone to Chennai on a tour. So he says, "Okay, what do you want from Kalam?" So he says, "You know what, actually I want to go back and I want to start a business. I heard that people these days are very concerned about putting on weight. So, I think people may want to check their weights. So, if I can have a weighing machine, then my grandson, after his school hours, we will take that weighing machine and we'll go to a local theater and we'll have people weigh and we'll record their measurements and, you know, we'll maintain a chart and we'll be able to earn some money. We'll work out a plan." And you know what, actually I asked many people for, you know, some assistance, but no one helped. So finally I thought Kalam will definitely help. And Javed says that Kalam will definitely help. And when Srijan Pal Singh heard this, he said, you know, it was a mixed feeling of guilt and gratitude. I mean, gratitude for the fact that, you know, I have a body with which I can earn my living. I mean, my eyes are there and my feet are there, I'm able to earn a living. And guilt that, you know, we have a society where a person had to come all the way from Mathura because no one was willing to give him even that much money to buy a weighing machine. And so he immediately, you know, he thought it doesn't really cost so much to buy a weighing machine. So he just took out 2 500 rupee notes and he gave it to the person. And the person was overjoyed. He was like ecstatic. I knew if I come to President Kalam, something will happen, you know. Allah will look after me and all that. He was really ecstatic. And he said, I'm telling you, I'm promising you one day, Javed will take this, he'll buy their weighing machine and he will come back and he will return you the money. He will return this money. He will definitely make it.
Terrific.
And so Srijan Pal Singh was very touched, and you know, he then asked the security guard to give them some food, water and all that. And they left. And then that evening, when Kalam sir returned, then, you know, generally Kalam sir, whenever he returned, he would first have a chat with Srijan Pal Singh. And so as they were exchanging notes, he mentioned the story of Javed. And Kalam obviously was very happy. He said, you have done the right thing, and I'm sure Javed will come back someday, and he is going to tell you the success story, and this is a great opportunity when you have the chance to transform somebody's hopes into reality, and that you have done. And so very happy, everything ends on a good note, and that was a Saturday. And Sunday, of course, he doesn't get to meet Kalam sir. Monday morning when he goes back to office, on the desk there is an envelope, and when he opens that envelope, there is 1,000 rupees in it. And so he's shocked, where did this 1,000 rupees come from? And he goes to Mr. Sheridan, who is the private secretary of Kalam. He says, from where is this money come from? And he says, no, that is what Kalam sir asked me to keep it for you. So he straight goes to Kalam and he says, what is this? Why have you put this money? Kalam says, no, this is the money you used to help that person. Actually, that person came looking for me, Kalam sir says, and because, you know, he was absolutely sure that I'll be able to help him. Unfortunately, I was not there. So, you know, but he says, but fortunately, I was there. So, I got the chance to do. Why are you taking away my punya? That's what Srijan Pal Singh says. Why are you taking my punya? And then Kalam sir says that, look, good deeds are done by extending compassion and empathy, not by extending money. The very fact that you had that feeling to give, that itself will ensure that you will get the punya. Because money is the very easiest thing to give. What is more important is to have that feeling and that empathy. Since you had that, you will get the punya, but now you are paying off a student loan and I have a pension, so don't worry about it. I will take care of it. But the story does not end there. But Srijan Pal Singh was so convinced that no, he has to spend that money. So he doesn't accept that money. So finally both of them decide that they will spend that money on something, a similar kind of seva. And so they go and help a child in Connaught Place in Delhi, a child who was earning his living by polishing shoes.
Okay.
So they wanted to upgrade his shoe polishing kit, you know. So they identified this boy, his name is Hanumant, in Farukabad in Uttar Pradesh. And so this guy used to always do this shoe repairing and shoe shining business. After the schools, he would go around with his kit and ask people if he can be of any service. And he was so happy, he bought a new kit. And after that, Srijan Pal Singh, every month, you know, he made friends with that Hanumant. And Hanumant used to get his other shoe shining friends, and they used to have a meeting every month with Srijan Pal Singh, and he would tell them stories and all that. This Hanumant changed his business from being a shoe shining boy to now he was selling clothes in the Janpath market and all that. So he had upgraded. And he used to tell them stories, you know. Srijan Pal Singh used to tell them stories that about Kalam. And he said, do you want to meet the president and all these kids? Say, really, can we see the president? They're all excited. How will his house be? How will that bungalow be? But the most touching thing when I read is, all of them are asking, what can we give?
Wow.
They're saying, yeah, some of them are excited, yes.
Can we contribute?
They're saying, yeah, great, it's nice to see the president, but what can we give?
So I think this is a beautiful example, you know, that has the element of compassion, element of kindness, element of love, element of forgiveness.
Everything.
It's got everything.
So beautiful.
So beautiful.
Wow.
But what is really amazing is, you know, all these virtues, as Bhagwan says, these are immortal. They defy time. And, you know, Kalam sir is someone who is respected. Even he became the people's president of this country.
True.
You know, his character has defied time. And I think his love for people is what has always... now, we see that play out in action. Real life examples. So, we'll move to the next paragraph.
Yes.
I think we'll go on and on this.
Manamu cheyu panula vallane అలవాట్లు కలుగును. అలవాట్ల వల్లనే బుద్ధి స్థిరపడును. మనము యోచించడి ఊహలు, ఉద్దేశ్యములు, చేసడి పనులు చిత్తమందు బాగుగా ముద్రించబడును. వీటివల్లనే మానవునకు ప్రపంచ స్పృహ కలుగును. మానవునకు ప్రస్తుత స్థితి పూర్వజన్మ పరిణామమే. ఈ అలవాట్లే మానవుని గుణములను తయారు చేయును. ఎట్టి స్వభావములనైనను ఊహలు, అభ్యాసముల వల్ల మార్చుకొనవచ్చును.
హ్యాబిట్స్ ఫార్మ్ ఓన్లీ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద డీడ్స్ వి ఇండల్జెన్. దీస్ హ్యాబిట్స్ షేప్ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్. ఆల్ దట్ వి వీవ్ ఇన్ అవర్ ఇమాజినేషన్, అవర్ ఆస్పిరేషన్స్ అండ్ డీడ్స్ లీవ్ అన్ ఇండెలిబుల్ ఇంప్రింట్ ఆన్ ద మైండ్. డ్యూ టు దీస్, మ్యాన్ మేక్స్ హిజ్ ఓన్ పర్సెప్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్. మ్యాన్స్ ప్రజెంట్ కండిషన్ is the result of his past birth. These habits mold man's character. Whatever be the nature, just by the process of imagination and practice, it can be modified.
So now you have Bhagwan giving us sort of a detailed diagnosis about how we form character, whatever our character is. And it boils down to habits.
Right. So, you know, there is this famous quote of Swami where he says, sow a thought, reap an action.
Yes.
Sow an action, reap a tendency. Sow a tendency, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap destiny.
Yes.
Wow. So, absolutely. You know, it's like the chain reaction. And so Swami says that, you know, whatever actions we do, that is what becomes our habit. And there is a mixture of, you know, two things here. One Swami is saying that this is what becomes your habit, and this is what you start believing, because he says this is what is imprinted in your mind. Whatever habits, suppose you start from the childhood, you tell somebody this is good, that's what gets imprinted in their mind. Because it's a kind of something which is cultivated. But then he says, most of what we are today, like the very fact that you are born in a particular family, the very fact that you are a part of a particular society, or you are born with certain, you are avail certain privileges or whatever, is because of the consequences of your past life.
Yes.
So there is a base level of what you are born with, and over and above that, he says, you can start afresh now.
Yes.
Yeah, what you already have is past.
Yes.
Now you can't change that. Yes.
It's like when the soul takes birth, as someone very beautifully explained to me, because the soul has this baggage, a soul with the baggage of whatever our previous karma is, and so at that point in time, a combination of sattva, raja and tama, you know, all the three gunas, they come along with the soul in a particular proportion.
Right. True.
Depending on what you have to accomplish. So your time and place and family and everything is decided along with your tendencies, what you have brought. So that's what Bhagwan is saying here. You know, all these tendencies we have brought, and they are based on the deeds. Everything starts from the deeds here. Bhagwan,
so which
is
a kind of, you know, a strong message very sent across very candidly is, whatever you do today, present, you're going to pay for it next birth.
Yes.
So get your habits right.
Right.
Get your character right. Yes. You know, have all these qualities of kindness, love, forbearance, integrity. Because if you go wrong here somewhere, whatever you have is because of the virtue of the last birth.
Yes.
But if you get, you know, your steppings, your footings wrong here, you do not know where you will land up.
So first thing here is, don't complain. Whatever is happening in your life, it is what you have brought.
Correct.
This is what you have created for yourself. Most of the time, our depression happens because, you know, we think that X, Y or Z
is responsible
person or X, Y or Z situation is responsible for our misery. It is not the truth.
Correct.
You are what you are because this is what you have created for yourself.
Swami mentions, I mean, if you sow a mango seed, you will get a mango tree. If you sow a tamarind seed, you will get a tamarind seed. Don't expect that you sow, you know, a tamarind seed and expect a kind of a coconut or a kind of a mango out of that. It's not going to happen that way.
Like I reminded of Aristotle, who very beautifully said, we are what we repeatedly do.
Right. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
So he says excellence then is not an act but a habit, because we are what we repeatedly do. And I think, as Vivekananda also once very beautifully said, if you want to know a person's character, you should see what he does when no one is watching.
That's okay. Right. That's
that is one way. You know, most of the time it happens that way. You know, when no one is watching, we let loose. So,
very true.
Yeah.
In fact, here I'm not sure whether it is in the Bhagavatam or Swami has mentioned it. I'm not really sure about the source, but I've heard the story of, Narada is wondering, how come Dhruva at such a young age was able to achieve so much, was able to get the Lord's darshan? He had that level of steadfastness and love and devotion. If you look at the excuse, it's quite flimsy. I mean, I want to sit on my father's lap. Mm-hmm. Okay, for a child, it might be a very big thing. But even then, I mean, will a child really go to that extreme?
Mm-hmm.
That was just used as an excuse,
yes,
to actually bring forth his love and devotion for the Lord. So Narada was wondering, is it possible for somebody to develop such? Then I think Lord Narayana takes him and he shows him heaps of bones. And he says, these are all Dhruva's previous births, where he has done penance for lifetimes.
Wow.
These are all his bones, which, you know, these many lifetimes he has done tapas.
Yes.
And that's why in this birth he had to just come for that short period of time before he actually got my grace. And that is...
This reminds me of Kodaikanal way back, I think the 90s, when, you know, one of the devotees told Bhagwan Swami, it is the punya that we have earned in this janma, that, you know, we are in your presence. And Bhagwan says, not this janma, it is so many millions of births.
True.
It is the blessing of so merits of so many births that you have this moment with me. And I think...
So then he says,
that is,
doesn't matter what you are born with, what habits you have or what qualities you have. He says, this can be changed with practice, with imagination and practice. So, uha, he says, uha is a word, that he says, imagination and practice.
Yes.
So, it's very interesting, like it's the same thing, where... Arjuna is saying, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balavridridam tasya aham nigraham mandi. He says, the mind is like, you know, as wavery as the wind. How can I control it? Asamshayam mahabaho mano dur nigraham chalam. He says, yes, there is no doubt, mind is so fickle. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chi grihyati. He says, with practice, even vairagya can be attained.
Very true.
With practice.
Wow.
And very beautifully, the same thing Swami says in conversations with Sai Baba in Dr. John Hislop's book. He says, Swami, we know all this. We have been hearing to you. For so many years we have been hearing all this. Now we know what is Atma, what is this, what is that. Are we realized? Swami says, no. Then why? Why are we not getting that experience? He says, you are not interested enough. That's all. You are just not interested enough, or you are not earnest enough. Like, if you want to join a company or you want to get the top rank, we give all our life, you know, from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to sleep. I'm sure, because, you know, I'm associated with kind of video production or trying to associate with that field. For a director or a filmmaker, for anybody, from the time they sleep till the time they get up, you know, all, maybe even in the dreams, they're thinking of only what idea they can, how to present it. So you're interested in that. So you give your everything to that. Are we interested in God? Or are we interested in knowing our true nature? If we are that interested, then there is nothing stopping us.
Wow. I think
beautifully said.
It reminds me of Ramakrishna Paramahansa.
Right.
Right? That experience when someone says that, why is it that I'm not experiencing God, and the same thing that Ramakrishna Paramahansa says, he actually takes his head and he puts it under water, and he brings it out only when the person is about to sort of collapse. He says, did you ever feel like this for God? That much of intensity? Did you have that much of intensity ever for God? Mm-hmm. You know, we just say that, yeah, we want Swami, we want this. But we don't really have that kind of intensity. And I think the intensity to practice so that that becomes a part of our habit, which in turn will become our character. I think that is what is Bhagavan.
And imagine how intense would have been Ramakrishna Paramahams.
Oh, yeah.
Wherein, you know, Goddess Kali appeared right from her image, right in front of him and said, here I am, you know, you are wanting me to, you know, give you darshan? Here is it. So that much amount of intensity, that much amount of...
You know, there is another very humorous incident that comes to my mind because, you know, we are talking about actions and habits. So there was this boy in Bangalore and he had to go to the office and he would go on his two-wheeler and there was this girl who asked him for a lift. And then, so obviously he can't be rude, so he gave her a lift one day. And then he came for darshan and he thought he should check with Swami whether he is doing the right thing or not. And then so he asked Swami, like this, there is this girl and she is asking me for a lift on my bike. Am I doing it right or is it right to take or not? Swami said, no mistake. So then he thought, wow, Swami is also given the permission so that action became a habit. You know, you're talking about actions and habits. Then after maybe a week or so when he came back, Swami said, bad boy, bad boy, bad boy. He said, Swami, I checked with you and you said no mistake. I said, no mistake. Don't take the mistake.
Absolutely.
Swami and his words.
So he said, no mistake, don't take the miss on your bike. That's what
I think is very, that's what I think it only shows how careful we have to be when you're choosing our actions.
Right. And
before they become a habit.
Exactly. And so as you know, here Swami is saying actions and habits, but if we are able to first of all curtail the habit, actions and habits, that itself is great. But then you'll have to eventually go even at the thought level.
Yes, absolutely.
So, in fact, that's what we discussed last time, where he says unity of word and deed is possible in the worldly. Thought, word and deed is only possible, you know, from a spiritual point of view.
Yes.
Thought, word and deed, unless your mind itself is, you know, aligned with that awareness, only then you can have an integrity of thought, word and deed.
Correct.
And then Swami says in a very simple way, Mahatmanam. Yes. Manas sekam, vacha sekam, karma nekam, Mahatmanam.
Yes.
Manas sanyat, vacha sanyat, karma nekam, duratmana, duratmana, he says.
Yes. Yes.
But I don't know, it's a long way off.
But I think Swami is giving so much hope here, where Bhagavan is saying that your character can be modified with imagination and with practice. In fact, I remember when Bhagavan used to speak to students also, Swami used to refer to this habit of prayer. Mm-hmm. And Bhagavan used to say how the habit of prayer will inculcate courage, it will give you confidence. And then that's how we have in the hostel, you know, the whole hostel schedule is filled with a series of prayers. I think the whole practice of, you know, remembering God at every point in time, you have to make that a habit. I remember in so many discourses, at the end of it, Bhagavan will say, okay, if not anything, do Namasmarana. You know, practice to learn to think of God. In fact, in one of the discourses that Bhagavan gave to management students, and I was really very surprised when I read this, Bhagavan is actually giving a very practical tip about how to inculcate these practices in your company. Swami says, that company which calls all its employees and starts with a prayer will always have success.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Swami gives a practical trip. Swami says that will ensure that the company has unity, that there is convergence in their ideas and thought processes. And to share with you, I was actually fortunate to see a company where this happens in Delhi.
That's great.
Yeah. So in that company, every morning, all the employees, they gather and they chant Gayatri Mantra, irrespective of what their...
any caste or any religion.
Faith or religion or whatever it is. Everyone comes together, they chant Gayatri Mantra, and no one is exempted from this. Mm. Everything shuts down. They all chant and then they begin the work. And first of all, I was so happy that, you know, when you look at the exterior of that building, it looked like a very, very upscale and posh locality and the company. And I never thought that, you know, in the heart of hearts, they are actually so connected. They want to be so connected. And very interestingly, recently, when there was a lot of problems with vehicle and pollution in Delhi, so you had the court asking to stop the sale of a number of vehicles, vehicles which did not conform to a particular CC, and the engine capacity, the higher engine capacity vehicles were asked to be off the roads to control pollution and all that. And in this whole process, this company actually was severely affected because their sales plummeted. And most interestingly, even though all this was happening, this company did not ask even one of their employees to leave. The proprietor, he actually sold a property to ensure that he continues to pay salaries. Everyone else, you know, they laid off employees, but he did not do it. Because he says, I have hired families, I have not hired people. So he continued to do this, and he had his trust in Bhagwan. And, you know, the day I read this thing about what Bhagwan has asked management students to do, I just called him. Apparently, he had called me for something else. And when I shared this, and he said, you won't believe, there was this huge amount which I had applied, and which the income tax authority was supposed to give me, and I had actually lost hope. I was not going to get it. But I don't know how suddenly so much money has come.
Amazing.
I can't believe it. This is not something I was expecting. I don't know how so much money came. In fact, he came and donated a part of it to Bhagwan, in spite of him, you know, being actually so much low on his resources. I mean, you can't connect it logically, but when Bhagwan says that, you know, these are the habits that will pay you in the long run.
They work.
They absolutely work. Fantastic. So I think there is so much that we can talk definitely about habits. But I think the most positive thing here is Bhagwan says everything can be modified. You can change your habits. All you need is practice. Yes. And the other thing is imagination. And I think that imagination also is such a very beautiful thing. The thought that comes to me is, you know, there is this group of youth in Australia who call themselves the Love at Work group. And the mandate that they have put for themselves is that every day they will try and visualize Bhagwan in that other person. Try and do that. You know, if he's a doctor, he will try and see Bhagwan in the patient. If he's a teacher, he will try and see Bhagwan in the student. Then you may not be able to do it all the time, but try and do it. And, you know, every week they share their experiences of this beautiful imagination. I think just imagine if you make this a habit, how wonderful everything would turn out to be.
Wonderful, really beautiful. And that's something for all of us to try.
Yeah. And I think once we are in that, it is not just imagination, it becomes divinization.
Right.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brother Anindya, for joining this satsang. We hope that in times to come, we will have more and more alumni who will join us in this discussion and share their real life experiences of living Bhagwan's teachings in their personal and
social
and professional life.
Thank you for this opportunity. I think it was a great experience, you know, coming over here and just having a quick chat.
Yes. Yeah. It's always
so amazing talking about Bhagwan and revisiting his words. Thank you so much. So, dear listeners, so that brings us to the end of the current episode of Vahini Satsang, and we'll move on. We have done the fifth paragraph today. So, probably we have two more paragraphs to complete in this first chapter. And as you have seen and as we have experienced, it's just that we have to just move on after we discuss. Otherwise, we can just stay on that paragraph for eternity. There is so much to share. But let's pray to Bhagwan that at least some of the thoughts that have come in this session will help us to think deep and take time out and contemplate so that we can make our lives his message. Thank you so much. We offer our salutations to Bhagwan for being with us all through this day-long Thursday Live. And dear listeners, as always, keep writing to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. with your feedback, comments or suggestions. Thank you so much. Sayonara.